This podcast is brought to you by St. Joseph's Episcopal Church in Boynton Beach, Florida, in the United States of America. You can find us at stjoesweb.org. Come visit us when you are in town.
Let us pray. Merciful God, always with us, always coming to us, we confess that we do not know how to prepare for your advent. We have forgotten how to hope for miracles. We have ignored the promise of your coming reign. We get distracted by the busyness of the season. Forgive us, God. Grant us the wonder of the shepherds, the courage of the Magi, the faith of Mary and Joseph. Lead us to Bethlehem that we might discover again the good news of the gospel. For Jesus' sake, for our sake, and for the sake of all the world. Amen. Happy New Year! With this, the first Sunday of Advent, we begin our new church liturgical year. And it might seem a bit surprising that we are beginning this new church year with the same theme we had in the weeks that ended our last few weeks of the previous year. If you recall, it was just a few weeks ago when we heard the parable about the workers and the message of the parable being for the worker to be ready for when the master comes back. A couple weeks ago, we had the wise and the foolish virgins. The parable again that gives us a message, be ready, have oil in your lamp because you don't know when the bridegroom's going to come. Well, now here we are, beginning a new church here, and guess what? Same theme. Jesus tells us, be alert. He tells us twice, keep awake. Does it not seem a bit out of sync? Well, maybe if we put it into perspective, it'll make a little bit more sense. We must always begin with the end in mind. And that's the purpose of the gospel we always receive on the first Sunday of Advent. We must always begin with the end in mind. If we focus on our ultimate aim, our ultimate goal, our ultimate purpose, everything else falls into place. Now, I want to put this in terms of our own preparation that we practically begin as individuals, as families now, with these next 4 weeks before Christmas. If you don't hear anything else I say today, hear this in the depths of your heart. It always gets done. It always gets done. Whether you are fretting already about the gifts you gotta buy, the cookies you gotta bake, the Christmas cards you haven't even taken the photo yet for, let alone addressing them and putting them in the envelopes, all the parties that you got to go to and RSVP to or tell them you can't come this year, whatever it is, it always gets done. I bet if I went through this congregation and asked each of us, what didn't get done last year for Christmas, I bet none of us could even remember. Because it doesn't matter. My wife, the day after Thanksgiving, God love her organization, she was getting stuff out of the attic, and there I look and I see this box of lights that didn't even come out of the box last year. Who knew? Who cares? It doesn't matter. If we keep the end in mind with this Advent season leading to Christmas, we'll be a lot better off. Remember the final exam gospel we had last week? Feed those who are hungry, give drink to those who are thirsty, visit those who are sick or imprisoned. Focus on that a little bit more at this time. Focus on reaching out to those people in your life who are lonely or depressed or without hope at this time of year. Think of those ways in which you can reach out to your loved ones. If we keep that end in mind as we begin, I guarantee you will have the best Christmas you've ever had. It always gets done. Now, let's take it to a deeper level as well. You know, we just got up from the Thanksgiving dinner table, and here we have violence, weeping, and lament in this gospel. Sounds like the rush we had on Friday morning to get out to all of those stores at 4 o'clock in the morning. But it goes a lot deeper than that. We had a lot of violence and weeping and lament in our world this past week with this situation in India, in Mumbai. I was preparing my sermon because I wanted to talk about behind our screen is the banner that's hope, because this is the Sunday of hope, the first Sunday of Advent, as we said in our opening prayer. Wanted to talk a bit about hope, and suddenly I've got CNN on, and there is this commentator who's on there. And he is talking about, he's a terrorist expert. And he says this, commenting on those terrorists. He says, you know, you can't negotiate with these people. He said, you have to understand that when somebody has decided they are going to die, they have no hope. And he said, you cannot negotiate with someone who has no hope. He said, where there is no life, there is no hope. Where there is no hope, there is no life. Now take that away from a situation of terrorism and just put it in our general daily lives. Where there is no hope, there is no life. Think about that. I mean, we can go without food, even shelter, for a period of time and be fine. We could go, there are people walking around who don't believe, they have no faith, but they're living. We have people who go around and they live without love in their lives. But can you possibly live without hope? Hopeless people are already dead. So hope's pretty crucial. Hope is pretty important. As a matter of fact, keeping the end in mind as we begin has a lot to do with Christian hope. Why? Because we know how the story's going to end. We already know the conclusion. God wins. We should already know by the fact that we are even here this morning. And all of the trials and the tribulations and the troubles and everything that's gone wrong in our lives, and here we are, walking, talking, living, loving, laughing. We should know that God is going to come through. And that's the basis for our hope. And we keep that end in mind, it's going to make everything in between a lot easier. There's a first reading that is in the bulletin if you take it home today. It's from Isaiah. And Isaiah says in this chapter, in the 64th chapter, oh, that you would come down from the heavens, God. They're having all these troubles in their lives, and they're saying, remember, God, when you did these miraculous things, when you parted the Red Sea and you delivered us, and now we're having all these troubles, and why are you hiding, God? We're not quite sure. But the resolution is that the person knows, who wrote Isaiah, God has delivered, God has been faithful in the past, and so I know that in some way God's going to be faithful again, and therefore, keeping that end in mind, I can have hope. It's the same for us. It's a call to be a people of hope. Now, some of us might want to equate hope with wish. You go to a restaurant. Boy, I sure hope they've got lobster on the menu. It's really a wish. Hope is a lot more than wishing. We could also equate hope with an optimistic outlook. We talk about Well, if you're a person of hope, the glass is half full, not half empty. Christian hope goes a lot far beyond optimism. Somebody wisely once said that someone who has Christian hope doesn't care about whether the glass is half full or half empty. A person with Christian hope is concerned and convinced that the person holding the glass is God. God is in charge. God is in control. And when we truly have that rooted within us, then we can keep the end in mind. Then we are a people of hope. You know, they've done studies of people who were POWs, people who were in concentration camps over the centuries. And every single study I've ever seen of those people, the people who survived were the people who they could identify had some hope to keep going. When people gave up their hope, they gave up their life. Hope's an amazing thing. I can think of all the times in my life where I just wanted to hang it up. Where there was a relationship or a situation or problems in my job or whatever, and I was just ready to hang it all up and forget it all. Somewhere along the line, I came back to saying, well, you know, I don't know what God's up to, but in some way in the past, God has always seen me through. And if I just hang in there with that hope, keeping the end in mind, somehow God's going to resolve this. Not in my time, but in God's time. But it's going to get resolved. There's hope. Hope is something that can help us to get started in the morning. You know, if you want to go out to your beautiful, shiny new car, and you get in there and turn the key, if the starter on that car is not working, we're not going to go anywhere. Hope is our starter. Hope is what enables us to put our feet on the floor from the bed in the morning and get up and get going. Hope is that which enables us to live with, and you can fill in the blank, helps us to live with whatever the problem, the burden, the difficulty, the obstacle, the person that is giving us the problem in our lives. Why? Because we know, keeping the end in mind, God's in control. It's going to get resolved. I'm going to do what I can, but I'm going to give the rest of it to God because I have hope God is in control, and I know how the story ends. Hope is that which gives us strength to keep going. Hope is that which helps us to slow down. And here we come back to where we started. It's all going to get done. Whether it's as trivial as the gifts or Christmas cards in the next 4 weeks, or whether it's as ultimate as salvation. That's already been done. Jesus has won the victory. It's just for ours to grab it. And whether we're talking about the next 4 weeks or the next 40 years, we do what we can. But we know with our hope that God is in control. Great image is one of a child who gets a jack-in-a-box for the first time. And that child starts to turn that crank and is enjoying that music. And as soon as that pop happens, that child jumps back and their eyes about bug out of their head until they realize the joke and they start to laugh. And they can't wait to do it again. They slam the lid down on that thing, and as they're turning the crank, what happens? They start to laugh and to giggle even before the clown jumps back out. Why? Because they keep the end in mind. They know what's coming. Folks, we know what's coming. If we keep the end in mind, we will be a Christian people of hope. And not only ultimately for our next 40, 50 years on this earth, whatever it is, the next 4 weeks as well, we're going to be able to enjoy that ride in joyful anticipation of Jesus in our hearts. May it be so for us. Let us take that to prayer.